Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll actually begin speaking from the Chaitanya Charitamrita tomorrow. And what we'd like to do today is to read text 41. 42 has a very brief one-sentence purport, so we'll finish that. And we'll do 43 as well. There's no purport. So we'll just finish the chapter today, and then we'll begin Chaitanya Charitamrita tomorrow. So text 41. Sarunam samachittanam suttadam matkritatmanam darshananno bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitod yatham sadunam samachitanam suttadam matkritatmanam darshananno bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitod yatham sadunam samachitanam sutadam matkritatmanam darshananno bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitod yatha. Pavajis sadunam samachitanam sutadam matkritatmanam darshananna bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitodyata sadhunam samachitanam sutadam matkritatmanam darshananno bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitodyatha sadhunam samachitanam suttadam matkritatmanam darshananno bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitodyatha sadhunam samachitanam sutaram matkritatmanam darshananno bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitodyatha. Matajis sadunam samachitanam suttadam matkritatmanam darshanam nobhavad bhandha pumsokshno savitodyatha sadunam samachitanam suttadam matkritatmanam darshananno bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitodyatha sadhunam samachittanam suttadam matkritatmanam darshananno bhaved bhandha pumsokshno savitodyatha. Okay, word meanings. Sadhunam, of devotees. Samachitanam, who are equally disposed toward everyone. Suttadam, excessively, completely. Matkritatmanam, of persons who are fully surrendered, determined to render service unto me. Darshanat, simply by the audience. No bhavet bandha, freedom from all material bondage. Pumsaha, of a person. Akshnoho, of the eyes. Savitu yuta, as by being face to face with the sun. Translation: when one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. Please repeat. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and C.C. Madhya 2254, Sarusanga Sarusanga Sarva Shastrikai Lavamatra Sarusanga Sarva Siddhihai. If by chance one meets a sadhu, a devotee, one's life is immediately successful and one is freed from material bondage. It may be argued that whereas someone may receive a sadhu with great respect, someone else may not receive a sadhu with such respect. A sadhu, however, is always equipoised toward everyone. Because of being a pure devotee, a sadhu is always ready to deliver Krishna consciousness without discrimination. As soon as one sees a sadhu, one naturally becomes free. Nonetheless, persons who are too much offensive, who commit Vaishnava aparad or offenses to a sadhu, will have to take some time before being rectified. This is also indicated herein. And I'll just continue to the end of the chapter. Text 542. Tadgacha tam matpadamau nala kuvadasadanam sanjato mai bhavo vam ipsita paramo bhava. O Nalakuvara and Manigriva, now you have both may both return home. Since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled, and now you will never fall from that platform. The purport: the highest perfection of life is to come to the platform of devotional service and always engage in devotional service, devotional activities. Understanding this, Nalakuvara and Manigriva desired to attain that platform, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed them with the fulfillment of their transcendental desire. Final verse, Sri Shuka Uvacha, ityuktau tau padikramya, pranamya cha puna punaha, badho lukhalam amantriya, jagmato disham uttadam. Shukadev Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having spoken to the two demigods in this way, they circumambulated the Lord, who was bound to the wooden mortar, and offered obeisances to him. After taking the permission of Lord Krishna, they returned to their respective homes. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Deliverance of the Yamo Arjun Trees. Srila Prabhupada ki. So in this particular verse, in text 41, we can see the importance, the power, the purifying symbol of the sun. Right now the sun is coming up over the horizon. We can imagine ourselves standing on a hillside. You know, the wind is blowing. And the sun is gigantic before us, taking up the whole side, sort of blasting us with its unlimited power. Krishna is oftentimes compared to the sun within the Vedas. Yach chakshadesa savata sakala grahanam rajas rajasamasta suramutir ashesha teja. This unlimited power which is emanating from the sun is also compared to the eye of the Supreme Lord. We see throughout all of human society, throughout time and place, Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, is compared to the sun. in ancient Egypt, they would look up into the sky and they wouldn't see a ball of fire. They actually would think that we're within the body of the universe and we're looking at the soul that's in the universe. You're directly seeing the soul of the universe right there before your eyes. That's how they saw the reality. And it's the same way in the Vedas. That's actually how things are seen. Here Srila Prabhupada mentions in the fifth canto, in this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Surya Atma, Atma Veno Pasyaha, the actual life and soul of all living entities within this universe is the sun. He is therefore upasya, worshipable. We worship the sun god by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhurbhuva Svaha. Surya is the life and the soul of this universe, and there are innumerable universes for which a sun god is the life and soul. So we see the sun god, Surya, is the very soul of the universe, and it's by his presence that life is actually happening. All life is dependent upon him. And yet, Prabhupada continues, and there are innumerable universes for which a sun god is the life and soul, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the life and soul of the entire creation. We have information from Vairaja, Hiranyagarbha, entered the great dull material globe called the sun. So ultimately the sun, the power of the sun is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. When we look up into the sky, we should see and remember that this is the power of Krishna directly entering into the sun. And therefore, he's the soul of the universe. All life is sustained by this power of Krishna. And as Prabhupada says here, Krishna is the life and soul of the entire creation. So just as the sun is giving life and power and sustenance to this particular universe, Krishna is the supreme sun that is giving life to the entire manifestation of multi-universes. Right? He's sitting there just by his presence. He is giving the Shakti and life to everything in existence. And so similarly, also Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that we ourselves are a little sun, right? That inside, that just as the sun is lighting up this entire universe, so similarly the soul is enlivening the body with consciousness. So we, that little particle, that jiva, we are also a tiny little sun within our body, pervading it with consciousness. And so we all, you know, those of us who are second initiated, we chant the Gayatri Mantra every day, three times. And so we're actually meditating on Krishna as that supreme Savator, as that supreme life force. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita elsewhere mentions quite a few times that he is the light of the sun, he's the power of the sun. But here, Krishna is mentioning, he's sort of flipping it around, that actually the devotee is the sun. You see, so we're constantly glorifying the Supreme Lord as the sun, as this powerful force upon which everything depends, this extremely unlimited, divine, glorious, beautiful manifestation. And yet here Krishna is flipping it around and saying, actually the sadhus, the devotees are the sun. And he's specifically referring to Narada Muni. Just as that verse I quoted from Brahma Samhita, yach chakshur sa asha sevitam, the sun is actually he's moving throughout the Kala Chakra, right? And he's wandering Brahmate by the power of the Supreme Lord. He's causing the sun to move across the sky. So similarly, we see that devotees like Narada Muni, they're empowered by Krishna to wander throughout the universe and to give Krishna consciousness to others. We see in this particular verse that Krishna is describing the devotee as like the sun in three different ways, really. He's saying here that the devotee is samachitanam, that the devotee is equal poise to all. And we see that the sun is equal to all. The sun shines upon everyone. It shines upon the filthy place. It shines upon the clean place. It makes no distinction. The sunlight will fall into the desert where the sunlight is not needed. But the sun will also fall into the fruits and flowers and the orchards and trees and fields where all living entities are drawing up and sucking up its life force for their very existence. And so the sun, it doesn't distinguish good or bad. It simply gives its nourishing rays. So similarly, the devotee is samachitam. The devotee is, as it says here, because of being a pure devotee, a sadhu is always ready to deliver Krishna consciousness without discrimination. And Prabhupada's mentioning in the purport that sometimes people will approach the sadhu with great reverence and affection, and sometimes the people will just treat the sadhu disrespectfully. But the sadhu is samachittanam. He doesn't care. He doesn't take that into consideration. Let's just like meditate for a moment and think about the qualities of a sadhu here. That the sadhu, he, no matter how you approach him, he's... Hare Krishna. No matter how you approach the sadhu is trying to give you Krishna. And he doesn't really care about your personal situation, whether you're good to him or bad to him. He's emanating the light of Krishna. And therefore, he's trying to shower everyone with the merciful rays of Krishna consciousness. And so Narada Muni is the same. We see that Nalakuva and Manigriva, they could have approached him with respect. Like imagine if when Narada Muni came, if these two demigods had actually put on their clothing and came and apologized, you know, for their materialistic behavior and paid obeisances to him. Narada Muni is samachittanam. He would have treated them the same way. He would have given them Krishna's mercy. Maybe not by turning them into a tree, but he may have given them Krishna's mercy. He would have somehow given them Krishna. Right? They would have walked away from that experience of Narada Muni just as enlightened, just as enlivened, and just as filled with the glory of Krishna. And yet, because they approached him in this negative way, Narada Muni, he didn't distinguish. He gave them Krishna's mercy regardless, just as the sun is shining out its light to everyone. Right? And so, also Krishna continues here, and he mentions that the devotee is sutadam matkritatmanam, which means that the devotee is matparaha. He's constantly engaged in Krishna's service. The devotee's very existence, the sadhu's very existence, is to constantly serve Krishna. We could see this example with Srila Prabhupada, that 24 hours a day, constantly, Srila Prabhupada is engaged in Krishna's service. No matter what time you could go to Srila Prabhupada, you know, sometimes if you go upstairs here, you could see in the Prabhupada's quarters, you have the servants' quarters right next to it. We keep some deity paraphernalia there. And there's a little buzzer on the ground, right? Because at any time of the day or night, Srila Prabhupada may buzz for his servant. Because Srila Prabhupada didn't stop. He didn't really rest very much. He was constantly engaged in Krishna service 24 hours a day. Either he's translating or he's preaching. He never stopped talking about Krishna. And so for the devotee, this is like the light of the sun. You see, the sun is constant. The sun is always shining, right? Even if it's not shining in our sky, it's shining in some sky. So the devotee is constantly engaged in Krishna's service, constantly shining out with the glory of devotional service. And so the devotee, his very nature, his very soul, his life and soul, matkritatmanam, his very atma, his very self, is engaged in doing service for Krishna, doing work for Krishna, trying to please Krishna. The devotee is constantly meditating on how to give Krishna pleasure and acting vigorously to do that. We see that Srila Prabhupada, oftentimes when he defined devotional service, he's always very careful to include that devotional service isn't just mental. It's not just emotional. It's not just contemplating. That you have to take that contemplation and then you have to engage it in serious service. You have to put your full body and mind and words into serving Krishna constantly. Right? So this is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. So this is mentioned here by Krishna, matkritatmanam, always engaged in serving like this. And so in this way the devotee is like the sun. And Krishna continues here in the verse, darshanam no bhavet bandha, that the devotee, just by seeing him, just by having darshan of the sadhu, one is immediately liberated from material bondage. All your ignorance and illusion vanish. Srila Prabhupada quotes the famous verse here, sadhu sanga sarva shastrikai. So, that lava matra, that one moment that you meet the sadhu, then they're like the sun. They blast away all the darkness. Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, as soon as one sees a sadhu, one naturally becomes free. Just think about that for a second. What does that mean? As soon as one sees a sadhu, one naturally becomes free. It means it just happens, that you don't have to really endeavor. If you come before a real sadhu, someone who's kritatmanam, who's totally selflessly devoted to Krishna, constantly serving Krishna, and one who's samachittanam, who's constantly emanating the light of Krishna consciousness to everyone, regardless of qualification. When you come before such an individual, then this bhavid bandha, just by their darshanam, all of your illusion and ignorance is destroyed. We could see devotees had this experience with Srila Prabhupada. oftentimes the story is told, I don't know if it was at O'Hare Airport or where, but there was one airport worker that was there. And this is Surya Prabhu's story, I think. There's one airport worker that was there, and when Srila Prabhupada came into the airport, and just the power of his presence was so great, even the airport worker was saying, your spiritual master is glowing. Right? He's glowing. And so even the materialists, they could see that Srila Prabhupada is different, that he's powerful, right? That he's like the sun, that he's effulgent. And what is that effulgence? It's Krishna's power moving within him. Right? We see that why is the devotee like the sun? Well, the devotee is like the sun because Krishna is like the sun, right? Just as you see the stained glass window is very beautiful because the sun... Sorry, there's something wrong with this microphone. The sun is very beautiful, or the stained glass is very beautiful because Krishna is like the sun shining through it. He's illuminating it. So similarly, the devotee who is 100% surrendered to Krishna, that devotee is an embodiment of the sun. Srila Prabhupada mentions that just like, you know, you respect the spiritual master just as you respect Krishna, because the spiritual master is the representative, the bona fide ambassador of Krishna. So similarly, the sadhu, because the sadhu is 100% surrendered to Krishna, Krishna shines through the sadhu. And therefore the sadhu has this beauty, he has this power to give Krishna to everyone. And that's the position of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, he's wandering throughout the universe like the sun. Just think about this. I mean, this is how Krishna is glorifying Narada Muni. That it's kind of like, you know, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they're bathing, they're engaged in intoxication. They're completely absorbed in ignorance. They're completely absorbed in darkness. Yet just because Narada Muni happens to wander through like the sun, then as soon as they turn around, it's like, boom, you know, this blast of light, just as if you were to come in contact with the sun. Just as if you were to walk out of a dark cave and just be immediately blinded. Whoa. So similarly, when you come across a sadhu, it's not an ordinary experience. You're coming across this huge, this extremely powerful, effulgent force, right? Which is essentially a soul manifesting the power and glory and mercy of God, right? To an extreme extent, because that soul is completely surrendered and devoted to serving the Supreme Lord. So coming across Narada Muni, it's like they were absorbed in darkness and ignorance, even as demigods, in this exalted position of a demigod. They're absorbed in darkness, and yet this darshanam na bhaved bandaha, then boosh, you know, just the power of Narada Muni just blasts apart their bondage, right? It didn't just blast apart the ignorance of sinful life, it blasted apart their entire existence in the wheel of samsara. Right? Their entire material existence was dismantled simply by Narada Muni wandering onto their where they were enjoying. That's how powerful a sadhu is. So, thinking about this in the context of the Krishna consciousness movement, that what is this Krishna consciousness movement? Well, we're descendants of Narada Muni. Right? That powerful son of Narada Muni is actually shining through the Guru Parampara. Yeah, that same power of the sun. And then through Srila Prabhupada, himself as the sun, like this. He's glorious. This kind of power. Boy, you even touch it. excuse me. So, that Srila Prabhupada is so powerful that this kind of sunlight that's emanating from him manifests as the entire Krishna consciousness movement. This temple room that we're sitting in, all of us together, without Srila Prabhupada, we wouldn't be here like this, right? We wouldn't be chanting Hare Krishna. We wouldn't be absorbed in the beautiful sound of Krishna's holy name. It's like Prabhu here is singing very beautiful, the Guru Puja. That's the power, that's Krishna directly emanating from his mouth, right? That's the power of the sun, the brightness of Krishna emanating directly in the Maha Mantra. So we're surrounded by this light that's coming directly from Srila Prabhupada. You see? So, and that's the light, the same light that was shining through Narada Muni. It's the same light that shined upon Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. You see? And then sitting here in this temple room, you know, with directly the darshan of Krishna right here, and the holy name of Krishna, and the power of Srimad Bhagavatam, all of this, we're actually bathed in the light of Krishna coming from the sadhu. It's very beautiful. It's very powerful. So, this, the Guru Parampara then is giving us this divine power, and we ourselves, if we take on this quality of being Kritatmana, being solely surrendered, completely surrendered to Krishna, to the point where we're pure, Samachitanam, we're 100% surrendered to Krishna, we have no material considerations beyond just giving Krishna's mercy and kindness to others, then we ourselves can properly become a reflector of that light. We ourselves can also embody, as a servant of the Guru Parampara, this light. And this is what's being requested of us, is that we develop these same qualities. It's very difficult to be Samachitanam. Right? It's very difficult to be equipoised like Narada Muni. Narada Muni was greatly offended in this. He wasn't personally offended, but their behavior was quite offensive. Imagine if you came to someone's door in New Dwarka. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, can you... And all of a sudden they're there naked, you know, like drunk, you know. horrible! Right? So it's a little bit rude, isn't it? It's not very respectful. So, but Narada Muni is the kind of devotee that he doesn't care. Essentially, he doesn't care about that. He just wants to give them mercy. And so as we see in these next verses, Hare Krishna, that's exactly what happened. That, as Krishna said here, now you both may return home. Since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled. And now you will never fall from that platform. So you see that by standing there on the bank of the Jamuna, they develop these same qualities as Narada Muni, and to a certain degree, that you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service. They now have the desire to be like Narada Muni, right? By associating with Narada Muni, they develop the qualities of Narada Muni. By having darshan with Krishna like this, now they want to be kritatmana. They want to be 100% devoted to Krishna. They want their very body and life and soul to be used in Krishna's service, to give pleasure to Krishna. You see? So, and Prabhupada says here, I'll just read some of this purport and kind of talk about it a little bit. The highest perfection of life is to come to the platform of devotional service and always be engaged in devotional activities. So this is the Suttadam Kritatmanam, just like Narada Muni. So we have to understand this. This is Shraddha. Is to recognize that the highest goal of life is to surrender ourselves completely to Krishna. Sarva karma kritahaya, right? If you just surrender to Krishna, then automatically everything that you need, everything you want will be taken care of. You don't need anything else in life. You shouldn't have any other desires. All you have to do is just try to give yourself completely to Krishna, completely to the order of the spiritual master. Just become the instrument of the order of the guru and the sadhu. And if you do this, that's the perfection of your life. You don't have to want anything else. You don't have to desire anything else. Mashuchaha, you don't have to fear that something is missing. Just surrender to Krishna completely and have the faith that Krishna will take care of you. That all of your needs, everything you could ever want or desire, is within that surrender. Alright? So this, now Prabhupada continues here. Understanding this Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, desire to attain that platform. So we should have, in other words, by studying the Shastra, we get this conception of faith, right? We get this conception that if I just surrender to Krishna, then that's all I need to do. We develop this sort of philosophically, this is mentioned at the end of the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Mat Padama. You accept Krishna as the supreme goal. Right? If you just accept Krishna as the supreme goal, make him the pinnacle of your life, the top of the pyramid of your life. Right? You're always moving towards him and trying to surrender to him. If you accept that conception, then you start to develop the desire to attain it. You have to cultivate the very strong desire, the labha, right? The greed to attain Krishna. And that's what Nala Kuvera and Manigriva did. Understanding this Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, desire to attain that platform. So first is the philosophical conception, the sambandha, right? That you understand the glory of Krishna and you understand the importance of surrendering to Krishna. You have full faith. Then is the abhideya. You're actually going to desire that and work towards it. And finally, it says here, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed them with the fulfillment of the transcendental desire. So once you have that intense desire, then the result will be that Krishna will fulfill that desire. Right? If you develop the strong enough desire to attain that consciousness, then Krishna will reciprocate and satisfy that desire. And that's the prayojana, that's the perfection of life. And so, finally, we can see in this last text, I'll read it again, Shukadev Goswami said, the Supreme Person of the Godhead, having spoken to the two demigods in this way, they circumambulated the Lord, and who was bound to the wooden mortar, and offered obeisances to him. After taking permission of Lord Krishna, they returned to their respective homes. You see, so Krishna is now their deity, right? That Krishna, he's tied to the wooden mortar. This is Damodar. And Nalakuvar and Manigriva, they're circumambulating him and worshipping him, right? And then they immediately depart to their abode to continue their Krishna consciousness. So this is the power of the sadhu. He is like the sun. He's samachitta. He does not distinguish. He gives mercy to all. He's filled with the power of Krishna. Due to surrendering to Krishna, matkritatmanam, always being engaged in Krishna's service. And just by coming in contact with the sadhu for a moment, your material bondage is annihilated by his glory. Right? So the sadhu is a very powerful force. And Krishna, who's generally compared to the power and glory of the sun, is here turning it around and glorifying the devotee, Narada Muni, and all sadhus as being powerful like the sun. So thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much. All glories Prabhupada.